At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
This podcast is part of the Neverland Network, where faith meets video games, movies, and fun. Find more shows like this at neverlandpodcast.com.
From days long ago, from uncharted regions of the universe, comes a legend.
The dream that came through a million years, that lived on through all the tears.
It came here, the Fandom Nexus.
Fabulous secret powers were revealed to our host as he plugged in his microphone.
I have a podcast!
Here he is, your Spider-Pan, Jeremy.
Hello, hello. Thanks for coming and tuning in with me here. I love it when you come along with me to have some fun. And so, I guess I'm going to say thank you a second time around. Was that awkward? Did I say that all weird? I feel like I did that completely backwards or some sort of ridiculousness that just didn't come across. But I'm glad you're here with me. I have a fun thing I want to do with y'all today that actually we had a poll that I had set up in the Facebook group, which I think the Facebook group is still under Neverland Podcast. But I had a poll that I ran, and I was asking some questions about people's favorite cinematic climax, right, of a film. And I've got some pretty good ones that I put out there, and I've got some responses, not quite as many as I would like. I would love to hear a lot more from y'all, but I'm going to share those with you today. That is my plan for the show. But then as life would have it, we've recently lost another, well, I don't know about legend, but a very important actress from the 80s. And since we cover a lot of retro stuff, I want to make sure we spend a little time to share some tribute for the great Lonnie Anderson and her history in the 80s, that she was in a lot of television shows and on a lot of a very beautiful woman and very, very comedic. And I wanted to spend some time on that. So that's what we'll be doing today. I was hoping to have some people on with me. Things have not quite worked out that way for me. So I'm going to discuss all these things, just me and you. So thanks for coming along with me to hang out with me here. Spend a little time of your day driving or in the office, however you got here and whatever you're doing right now. I'm glad you're here. So without me getting all gushy, I suppose we should get on with the show. So, all right. So the usual stuff, what have I been watching? And okay, so here's the thing. So I'll qualify this as something that I've kind of been watching is we're getting close to football season. And okay, I'm in Kansas City, so yes, I'm a Chiefs fan. So all of you people who hate the Chiefs, go ahead, get it out of your system now. Get it out of your system now. But I've been watching some videos from training camp. I mean, I work in St. Joseph, Missouri at a television station. So of course, some different things about training camp is going on. And I've actually got to make some things for our training camp programming. So we've just completed all of that. But the NFL on their official YouTube channel had a best of Patrick Mahomes. They had like a highlight reel from last season. And, you know, it was really kind of just fun to watch and kind of getting my mind in. They're ready for football season. I mean, baseball season's still going strong. True. The Royals are not so much going strong. True. So, you know, I get excited. It's time for football season. The Royals are doing OK, though, I think. But will the Royals make it to the playoffs? Probably not. Will the Chiefs maybe make it to the playoffs this year? I should hope so. And they even get a chance of redemption against the Eagles, because I don't even want to discuss what in the world went wrong at that Super Bowl. It went all kinds of wrong. Okay, we'll just put it like that. And so I'm hoping for things to turn out a little bit better. And they're really, really have been working on bringing back the explosive offense that we kind of got known for when Patrick Mahomes first started playing with us. We've kind of had to We've adjusted offense. We want to keep, I guess, defense is kind of guessing at what's going to happen. But they've been working on bringing back that explosive offense, working on some weaknesses we had in the offensive line. So I hope that this will be the season that nobody gets to use the excuse thinking the refs are somehow or another in our back pocket, because we know that's not true. And you seem to ignore when the refs do something in your favor, because we've had a more bad calls against the Chiefs. Believe me, when you watch the entire season, we were not got the refs on our side. The magic of Taylor Swift is not somehow or another making them winners. We just have some good players on our team right now, which we have waited a long time for. Really have. I mean, I've gone, goodness sakes, how many years? 40 years of my life at least before. I mean, we've had some decent players in my life. Well, we had Joe Montana for a little while. That was fun. But to have this caliber of a team that's, I mean, goodness, they've won three Super Bowls, almost went to three in a row, or almost won three in a row, but a total of three Super Bowls here in the last few years. Then we add that to the old Len Dawson trophy and everything. It's an amazing thing to have it happen to your hometown team. And I hope it happens for your hometown team, if you even care. I know of at least one of our faithful out there is not a football fan. So he'll have his fun saying, oh, Jeremy's talking about sports ball again. So, yeah, I know some of you are out there that you're not into this sort of thing. And that's OK. You don't have to be, you know. If it's not fun for you, I hope you find other things that are fun for you and you go and enjoy those. Right. Right. So let's get into the fact that Lonnie Anderson, Lonnie K. Anderson, was born August 5th, 1945, and just passed away here on August the 3rd. She was best known for playing receptionist Jennifer Marlowe on the CBS sitcom WKRP in Cincinnati from 1978 to 1982, which earned her nominations for three Golden Globe Awards and two Emmy Awards. Which, I mean, that was, I remember watching that in my early years of life. I mean, I was only like 1 year old when that show started. But of course, it was on in syndication. And so I think I got more familiar with the characters in syndication, even though I was still very little. And I don't know if all the jokes really got to me, and because, I mean, that would have went off the air when I was about kindergarten, first grade. But, you know, we still had on syndication. And so I continued to watch it as I got older and understood a little bit more of the humor of the show. And I mean, to tell you the truth, okay, Lonnie Anderson, yes, she's a very lovely lady, but I cannot think of the character's name, but the brunette lady on there, I married a brunette, okay? I like brunettes. Nothing wrong with any new blonde-headed ladies out there. You're lovely, I'm sure. But I kind of liked her. And of course, when you look up that actress, I mean, she was like a former pageant winner and stuff like that. So, I mean, yeah, very, very, very lovely ladies and very funny characters in there. And, I think that planted some seeds in me when I was very young, that I was kind of just the idea of being on the radio and playing music and everything. It planted some seeds in me, I swear, to where later I'd go on to record and make little shows on cassette tapes. And look where that's landed me. Now I've been podcasting for over 12 years now. We're in the 12th year, I guess, now here, aren't we? Yeah, in the 12th year, because I've been doing this since 2013. And from that, that has landed me a career in radio and in television, where the most I get to use my voice is I do voice a lot of ads that I make because I like doing that. I think I'm better at voicing the ads than I am actually making the ads or filming the ads. The visual stuff, I do all right. I think sometimes my technical wizardry is more what people want me to be able to do, is figuring out stuff in the computer and be able to take care of things. I get more relied on than that, I think, than any of my other skills at filming anything. But I do voice a lot of things, and people seem to like when I do that. So, that's where my talents really lie. But I'm trying to use my talents the best I can in my current career. So, that's kind of the way it goes. But WKRP, I say, probably planted some seeds. And I'm sure we all liked Johnny Fever. And I remember seeing the episode. I'm kind of top focusing a lot on that show more than I am Lonnie. I'm sorry. But like the opening episode when he talks about getting fired for saying booger on the air. And then when they changed station format from playing like, classical and easy listening to suddenly playing rock and roll, he suddenly grabs the microphone and says, oh, by the way, booger. And and history was made. Well, let's get back to Lonnie Anderson. She was actually born in St. Paul, Minnesota. She's the daughter of Clayton Carl Andy Anderson, an environmental chemist. Wow. And Maxine Hazel, a one-time model. That doesn't surprise me. That's probably where Lonnie got her looks from. She grew up in suburban Roseville, Minnesota. As a senior at Alexander Ramsey Senior High School, she was voted Queen of the Valentine's Day Winter Formal of 1963. And as she stated in her autobiography, My Life in High Heels, That's funny. I like that. That's a good title. Her father was going to name her Leilani, but realized that when she got to her teen years, it was likely to be twisted into Leilani. So it was changed to simply Lonnie. Well, now that's interesting. I did not know that. Okay, so there's a large section about her career, which I kind of, let me just go through some of her like filmography here. We got stuff going back to like 1976, where she was uncredited as Speeches in Vigilante Force, popped up in Stroker Ace, was nominated for some Golden Raspberry Awards for Worst Actress and Worst New Star. 1984, The Lonely Guy as herself. All Dogs Go to Heaven. She was the voice of Flo. She was in Munchie in 1992. Three Ninjas, High Noon at Mega Mountain as Medusa, and A Night at the Roxbury as Barbara Butabi. But where she's more known probably is in a lot of her work on television. And she did even the James Mansfield story where she played Jane Mansfield. Did a show called Three on a Date. Something called Sizzle, Country Gold, My Mother's Secret Life, A Letter to Three Wives Stranded. But here we go. 1986, The Other Thing, where she played L.K. McGuire, Easy Street. I feel like this is a show that it kind of got completely forgot about, right? Did y'all watch Easy Street? This is where she's a very wealthy person, and I don't remember what it was. I don't know if it was like a Different Strokes kind of thing where it was like a family friend, but she finds this older guy, and this is a guy that you used to see in old westerns where he's got like the one kind of crooked, lazy eye, and his friend. She takes them in to live in her mansion. And that was the premise, and it was a very fun, entertaining show. I remember that, but I couldn't tell you much more about the episodes. I just remember we watched it all the time, but I guess it didn't last very long. But did anybody else watch this? I mean, I haven't looked or searched anything. I haven't Googled for this, but it's almost like the show just disappeared. So maybe it wasn't that good of a show. Maybe it didn't last long. I don't know. But I mean, I remember as a child, I was watched it and I enjoyed it, but I was 1986, so I was not even 10 years old. So, you know, sometimes the stuff you enjoy when you're a kid, you watched later and you're like, wow, that wasn't as good as I remembered it. So it could be one of those things. There was something where she's also the voice of Blondie in a Blondie and Dagwood thing in 1987. And I kind of think I remember seeing some animated Blondie specials. She also came back in 1989 and did Blondie and Dagwood's Second Wedding Workout. I kind of remember watching these. I really wonder if I could find those online. I used to like to read Blondie, and I always kind of wondered, like, because Blondie and Dagwood, the art style was so entirely different. I always wondered if maybe these were two separate comic strips that were brought together and they had the characters get married, and it was more fun, the things they could do with the characters together, because they just seemed like two completely different styles of comic strip. But they were just fun together, because you had the goofy looking Dagwood and his beautiful wife. And it gives hope for all us goofy looking people that we get to have a beautiful wife. You know, as it was said in the series Chuck, one of my favorites, sometimes the nerd gets the girl. And I guess I did. You know, I've married quite well, I'd say. I've been married now over 22 years, and amazing that happened with me. So I'm quite happy with that. A lot of different television specials, television shows, a couple appearances on SWAT. Police Story, Barnaby Jones, Bob Newhart Show in 1977, popped up on the Love Boat as Barbie. Now I wonder if she was supposed to be like that Barbie, because seriously, she could have pulled it off. Had appearances on Three's Company, The Incredible Hulk. Here's another appearance on the Love Boat, and also Fantasy Island, Amazing Stories. Lots of different things, even running up into 2017. Looks like she had something that was a TV pilot that didn't get made here. So lots of different things that she continued to work, but we just didn't really hear a lot. Now, Andy Anderson was married four times. She was married to real estate developer Bruce Hasselberg from 64 to 66. Ross Bickle, another actor from 74 to 81. And Burt Reynolds, this is the one we all mainly remember from 1988 to 1994. I think that they were like a Hollywood power couple at the time. I remember you'd hear about them all the time on Entertainment Tonight and shows like that. But it didn't last forever. And she eventually married musician Bob Flick from 2008 until she passed away recently. And he was one of the founding members of the folk band The Brothers Four. They actually met on a movie premiere in Minneapolis in 1963. And she had acknowledged an affair with her co-star Carrie Sandy near the end of her marriage with Bickle. Anderson had two children, a daughter, Deidre, fathered by Hasselberg, a son, Quentin, adopted with Reynolds. She also had a sister, Andrea. Anderson's autobiography, My Life in Heels, was published in 1995. She had four grandchildren from her two children. And Anderson passed away here on August the 3rd from prolonged illness at the age of 79. And of course, all of us growing up in the 80s will always remember her for making us laugh and being just a lovely lady. And that's what we got to say about that, I guess. Let's take a quick moment to talk about Dubby. Now, if you go to NeverlandPodcast.com, home of the Neverland Network of Podcasts, you can find a large graphic for Dubby. Now, if you happen to be a gamer and you want something good and healthy to drink to give you some energy and not give you the jitters, Dubby is where it's at. Click right there. That big image is a link. But otherwise, you can go to Dubby.gg and use the discount code Neverland. Get you a nice discount on some many different flavors or something to drink it out of. Just go to town. Enjoy it. And of course, when you enjoy something from Dubby, I do get a little something out of it, and I do appreciate it because it really does help cover my costs. And so I appreciate it. You know what else helps cover costs? And you get something nice out of the deal. And I'm hoping I've got all the things working on my store. It has taken a long time because I've had to kind of program a lot of the stuff myself with some help with WooCommerce and stuff. But we do have a fantastic store where you can get, I need to get our new logo on some shirts and some cups and things. But tumblers, cups, I think I have a blanket that has a Keep a Pixie in Your Pocket on it. Just all kinds of fun items that you can find in our store that, go peruse there, find something you like. If you don't find anything you like, but you know of something you want to find, send me an email or something. Let me know of something you would like to have, and I will see if I can make that product available to you. I'd love for you to have something that you can enjoy, that you can carry the fun of hanging around here at the Fandom Nexus with you, and just a bunch of other different fun things that are not necessarily tied to the show, but kind of are. There's a lot of just fun, special things. So go take a look there. Hopefully you find something you like. I would really, really appreciate that. Okay. But now I believe it is time that we go in to look at this poll that we've had. I don't have a movie review for you this week, although I'd kind of would like to see The Naked Gun and see if it's as funny as some of the old movies were. I've been hearing a lot of good things about that. Maybe Philip and I will get a chance to see it this coming weekend and I'll tell you about it. A little bit behind the eight ball on that, I guess. But so I asked the question, what is the most epic finale in a movie of all time? And I have kind of a countdown. So I didn't count exactly how many answers I have here. Let me see here. It looks like I have up to eight answers. So this will be a top eight. And we'll stop here, start here at number eight in our countdown. And this, I remember, saw this movie first in a drive-in. I was a teenager. Absolutely loved this movie. Don't love all of its many, 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 many sequels. And some of you still had fun with a recent sequel that came out this month. I'm talking, though, about the original, the classic Jurassic Park, and we can just call this When Dinosaurs Ruled the Earth. It is a fantastic moment because it's the first time you watch. I mean, it's a scary movie. It really is, but it's also kind of an adventure. It's a scary adventure, kind of like the second half of Jaws is. It's a scary adventure. And you think that, Dr. Grant and everybody, they're just cooked, right? They got raptors surrounding them. And then all of a sudden, the great twist climax, that T-Rex, who you were so terrified of earlier in the movie, sweeps in, snags a raptor, flings one into a skeleton, and fights the other one. And oh my goodness. And then as they run away, it roars and the banner comes down, When Dinosaurs Ruled the Earth. And we all wanted to stand up and cheer. It was an amazing finish to a fantastic movie. But that is only number eight on our list. You'll have to pardon me. I'm drinking some warm apple cider because it's August, so we're just getting time for apple cider, and it's nice to have something warm when I'm talking this much after a long day at work. Now, here's one that this movie, it seems like it was underappreciated, but it's almost like a goofy movie where there's this cult following like, oh, no, we actually all really kind of like this movie, even though it doesn't get the respect it deserves. And it's even something that before we knew who Vin Diesel was, he voiced a giant robot, an iron giant, in the Iron Giant. And there's this great, great moment where it comes down to where the giant robot hits, he got hit in the head and he forgot what he was coming to Earth for. And then he realizes he's a giant weapon. He's got all these weapons and everything. And at one point he kind of gets angry and he starts fighting with the army because the little boy, Hogarth, I'm sorry, with a G, right? Isn't it? It's been a long time since I've watched the movie. his little boy gets hurt, and then you see the dent in his head kind of heal away, and suddenly the angry weapon is going, and a nuclear missile is like coming at them. And I think it's Hogarth that reminds him when he's fine. It's like, you choose who you want to be.
You are who you choose to be.
And instead of being a weapon, the Iron Giant flies into the sky to go stop that missile and says, Superman. I'm getting tingles already. Sorry, give me a minute. It is such a great moment. Because, you know, he's learned, heard of Superman, an alien who came to Earth and everything with powers far greater than, you know the whole thing. And he gets a moment to just save everyone. And sacrifices, and you get a little hint at the end that he's able to piece himself back together, but we never got to see like anything coming back together. But oh my goodness, it's a great movie. Great movie. If you haven't seen it, great movie. But bring the tissues for that beautiful ending. It's a beautiful ending of a beautiful movie. Okay, Lord of, now, yeah, we're going at, you know, number three on our countdown, or well, not number three, I'm sorry, this would be 876, number six on our countdown, Lord of the Rings, The Return of the King. The epic moment, because the ring, when it falls into Mount Doom, it sits there. Sits there for a beat. And then, boosh, it just dissolves and melts away. And that's like this wave of energy just comes out from Mount Doom, and the forces of evil are conquered. The tower falls with Sauron's evil eye just looking around in shock that his power is broken and peace returns to Middle Earth. But it's such a great, great moment that, I mean, granted, I've read the books. I knew it was coming. So, but still, to see it presented and done on film so well, and one of my favorite trilogy of movies, that, I tell you what, that is an epic moment. Moving on, next part in our countdown, I guess this would be number five. All right, come on. You know there's still a Disney guy in me. The Lion King as Simba ascends Pride Rock. I mean, I don't know if this is... I mean, it's not like the final conquer of the villain, but it is a climax of the film where Simba takes his place in the circle of life, right? And you even have... why am I not thinking of Robert Guillaume's character? You know, the baboon. Oh, well, Rafiki. When Rafiki kind of points him up Pride Rock, and the music swells as you have this slowly as Simba climbs to the top and then finally roars and the reins return to the Pride Lands. Oh my goodness. It is a fantastic moment. And it's the only way really you could wrap up a movie that starts with such an epic song in the circle of life and a great opening scenes. And really you couldn't close the movie without, you know, they go back to a reprise of that as we see Simba's, you know, cub being lifted up in the same way. But it's a great moment in that movie. Okay, so next on our list, this is one of my favorite, and this is a full-on scene here. Beauty and the Beast, one of my favorite movies of all time, when Belle finally confesses that she loves him. And we see the petal fall, and we think, oh no, she's too late. And then that one stream of light sparkles down, and then it's followed up by several more. And the music is totally, I mean, it's, the effects are amazing. The animation effects are awesome, but the music really sells this scene as we hear like this one lone trumpet da, 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 is giving this thing. And this, like the music all swells together to a big fanfare as finally through light bursting from his body, we see him transform back into the prince, and the music is just epic as he's laid back down on the ground. And then finally he gets up and he turns and we recognize him from his picture and he's back. It's such a great moment. I'm going to end up wanting to watch that movie here before I go to bed, but I can't. I got to work tomorrow. All right. So now we got to do something a bit more epic. We're getting into our top three here. So number three, as voted by you, my friends and fans, Avengers Endgame. I am Iron Man.
Inevitable.
And I
Oh, heck yes. Now, what makes this so epic is the buildup from the first Iron Man that we see. He is not the person who's going to make that play. He is just not that self-sacrificing of a person. We see him grow and change throughout 3 Iron Man movies and an Avengers movies. And we get to this moment. We don't expect him to do this, but he makes the moment. It's cost him everything. Now, in the comics, you know, the Infinity Gauntlet doesn't quite work that way. But doing it this way for cinematic purposes, fantastic. My only complaint really on that was that it seems like they kind of glossed over Black Widow having sacrificed herself, too. That's pretty sad and epic, and it seemed like we just kind of moved on past it. But that, for, you know, I still think Infinity War is a better movie, but that's still, it is a fantastic moment. But I think what makes it so fantastic is just that we had like 10 movies to build up to this moment. So worked out really good. Okay. Now here sitting at number two was, I think, the inspiration, because if you listen to Watching Movies with My Pastor, over the summer, last episode I managed to get recorded. We are coming back with that. I promise. It's just, we've had a complicated life here with Philip and I, with a dear friend of ours who really needed Philip's help. But we watched Jaws. And oh my goodness, that final moment after the sheer terror of the captain there. Why am I not thinking of his name? Played brilliantly. Such a great character. We see him getting eaten off the side of the boat. We've also lost. My brain is not functioning. But, you know, our other guy with a well-known actor who we've lost in the cage, and we think maybe he's gone. We thought, oh no. So it's just down to Chief Brody. There's not much of the boat left. And it's it. If Chief Brody doesn't find a way to stop this shark, he's done with. Now in the movie, it's much better than the book. The book, the shark almost gets him. And then it finally just succumbs to its wounds and just falls. Not exciting. Not exciting at all. The movie?
Why are you son of a...
Smile, you son of a gun. Okay, so he doesn't get the full word out. Okay, you just smile, you son of a. The shot fires, and kaboom! The shark explodes in a very dramatic fashion. And then he's ha ha, and the rest of the audience were going ha ha with him. So the unknown actor Roy Schreider out there, like being the sheriff that doesn't like being on the water and all the other stuff, ends up being the hero of the day, the unexpected hero of the day. That is a brilliant movie. And I'm not like a huge fan of that movie, but golly, is it a good movie? So I think the reason I'm not a fan is that, boy, that movie kind of messes me up. It's kind of terrifying for me. I think the first half of it, it's very much a horror movie. And I think what kind of does it for me is the little boy. That is horrible. That little boy who gets taken. Then when they had people have made the little funny, trying to be funny toys with like the blood spurting and having like the little like raft with a bite out of it, and like, and they have it like that's a toy. It's like, oh come on, that's horrible. So, but yeah, that's, that movie is disturbing. Plus the woman at the beginning, that's a very disturbing scene. The whole thing, it's just terrifying. But that's what makes good cinema, though, too. And now our number one, and this is probably one of the first epic cinema moment I think I ever saw. Watching Star Wars, and I'm not going to call it A New Hope because it's Star Wars, on television, on HBO, when prepare to fire and everything, and they're getting ready, and they're locked on an Alderaan, and then the Death Star explodes, saving, not Alderaan, I mean Yavin, I'm sorry. Alderaan was unfortunately already nuked, but the rebellion is saved, the Death Star explodes, Darth Vader unfortunately gets away. Or fortunately, if, we consider he does help, kill the Emperor. So, oh, I'm sorry. Did I spoil a movie that's like 40 plus years old? So, so I have a fantastic moment, and my choice for best cinematic moment, and your choice. Y'all voted. Well, not everybody voted for Star Wars, but that was the top vote getter, was Star Wars. The Death Star explodes.
I have you now.
Out. You're all clear, kid. Now let's blow this thing and go home.
So that was the choices. Wow, this is a very, very short show. So I think what I'm going to do is let's take a quick break and come back. And I'm going to pull out an old radio show out of the archives. And we're going to enjoy that until we come back and wrap things up.
Are you a fan of Adventures in Odyssey, Lamplighter Theater, or Jonathan Park? Want to join other fans for discussions or behind-the-scenes info about these shows? Or maybe you're looking for more great audio drama to listen to with your family. Do you enjoy hearing exclusive interviews with the cast and crew of your favorite shows? Then Audio Theater Central is the podcast for you. I'm J.D. Sutter. Since 2010, Audio Theater Central has been exploring the family-friendly audio drama world through news, reviews, and interviews. Join me and a rotating cast of co-hosts each month for another episode featuring the latest updates, in-depth reviews of new releases, and conversations with the actors, writers, directors, sound designers, and composers who create your favorite audio dramas. And maybe we'll introduce you to some great shows you've never heard of before. Find us at audiotheatercentral.com or in your favorite podcast app. That's audiotheatercentral.com.
Bristol Myers, the makers of Sal Hepatica for the smile of health, and Vitalis for well-groomed hair, present the Alan Young Show. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Ken Delmar, speaking on behalf of those two old friends, Sal Hepatica and Vitalis, and welcoming you to the Alan Young Show, featuring our singing star, Diane Courtney, the music of Peter Van Steeden, and our special guest tonight, Fred Waring, and starring Alan Young. Well, folks, here we are outside Alan Young's house. Alan has a beautiful home. In the summer, he has ivy climbing up the wall. But not in the winter. Ivy goes to Florida. Let's drop in, Ivy.
Oh, hello, Kenny. Come on in. Kenny, you got here just at an historic moment. I just received a telegram from General Eisenhower thanking me for the secret weapon I sent him.
Secret weapon?
Yeah, it's a girdle 300 miles long.
Well, Alan, what did General Eisenhower do with a girdle 300 miles long?
He put it in the Belgian Bulge.
Well, the general did very well without you, Alan. Yeah. He's closed the Nazi escape route, and von Rundstedt is almost surrounded. I wonder what von Rundstedt is doing right now.
He's probably standing there and singing, "Don't Fence Me In."
Well, General Montgomery...
What's that, kid?
General Montgomery isn't doing badly either.
Oh, sure, Montgomery is doing fine, but I wonder how he still finds time to take care of Ward. I nearly took care of that. By the way, Kenny, what are you doing here tonight?
Have you forgotten Alan?
How could I forget Alan? I've known him ever since he was a baby. Oh, you mean, have I forgotten?
Alan, tonight is the night we're having the meeting of the Alumni Association Senior Prom Committee of the Ladislaus T. Fink High School. Don't you remember? You're committee chairman again this year.
Oh, yeah, good old Ladislaus T. Fink High. Now, who else is on the prom committee besides you and me?
Well, your girlfriend Betty and Peter Van Steeden, they'll be here any moment.
Oh, gee. Do I look all right, Kenny? My hair combed, my tie straight, my shirt clean?
Yeah, you look fine. But I think the committee would like it better if you did one more thing.
What's that?
Put on a pair of pants.
Some people are so unsophisticated. I'll slip into them right now. There we are. Now that must be the committee.
Hello, Mr. Young.
Oh, it's my girlfriend, Betty. Welcome to my humble abode, Betty. Shall I carry you across the threshold, Betty?
Why, Mr. Young, you can't carry a girl across the threshold unless you're married to her.
Not much of an inducement, is it? Oh. Well, come on in, Betty.
Hello, Betty.
Hello, Mr. Belmont.
Well, I'll leave you folks alone. I'll go in the kitchen and call up Peter Van Steeden.
Kenny, there's no phone in the kitchen.
I know. Huh? I was just trying to be subtle. Hmm? I thought I'd leave you alone in the living room with Betty. Maybe you'd like to N-E-C-K. I'll see you later.
Betty, would you like to N-E-C-K?
I'd love to, Mr. Young.
Gosh, bet I'll have fun when I find out what that spells. Come on, Betty. Sit down here on the couch.
All right. There. Mr. Young, won't you come a little closer?
Is that better?
Mm-hmm. But come a little closer.
Okay. Is that any better?
Yes, Mr. Young. But I'd like you to come still closer.
Okay. There. Is that close enough? Well, Betty, we're ready to plan another senior prom. Remember our senior prom? We were just two fresh kids graduating from high school.
Yes. Yeah. After 4 long years.
Yeah, after 10 long years. Betty, remember that tuxedo I wore? I borrowed it from my uncle.
Uh-huh. Remember that tuxedo?
Yeah.
The right shoulder was so shiny as if something heavy had been carried on it.
Yeah, my uncle was a very busy undertaker. You know, we should...
Break it up, kids. Peter Van Steeden's coming up the porch.
Oh, Peter.
Peter Van Steeden is here. The negotiations may commence post-haste under my expert supervision and tutelage.
Peter, where did you learn such big words?
Why, everybody says I'm a walking encyclopedia.
Well, wouldn't you like to sit down and rest your index? Come on in, Peter. Well, let's start the committee meeting. As alumni, it's our job to give the high school seniors the best prom possible. And about the dance music, Peter, last year you brought your band of 18 musicians. How much did it cost?
$25.
Yeah. Okay, you're hired again.
Oh, not so fast. This year the price is $100.
Why should I pay you $100 for a band that I paid $25 for last year?
Well, during the year, some of my boys learned how to read music.
That's ridiculous. For $100, I could get the Fred Waring.
Fred Waring? A fine conductor he is. Why, he can't tell the difference between a baton and Frank Sinatra.
Well, who can? I won't pay it.
All right, wise guy. If you can get Fred Waring for $100, go ahead and get him.
All right, I will. I'll call him up and make an appointment. I'll even go to New York and see Fred Waring in person.
Here's the railroad station, Alan.
Oh, thanks for the lift, Kenny. The New York train should be along in a minute. I'll see Fred Waring and call you the minute I make a deal with him.
Well, I don't think you're going to have much luck.
Don't worry, I'll get him. You want to wait till my train comes in, Kenny?
No, I'll have to be getting back to my drugstore pretty soon. I can't depend on the boy I have there to know exactly what to say to customers.
I don't get you, Kenny. What do you mean exactly what to say to customers?
Well, you know, there are a lot of items you can't get at your drugstore now on account of the war. So I've got to be very tactful when I tell a customer he can't have what he wants. People are inclined to get mad and blame it on the druggist. But once you tell them the real reason for the shortage, they understand.
That's true. If there's anything I hate, it's a clerk who says we haven't got it. Don't you know there's a war going on? I could slug him.
Yeah, I know. That's why I take time to tell a customer exactly why he can't get the product he wants. Now, take Vitalis, the famous hair grooming preparation. More people come in and ask for it, and I have to tell them civilians can't buy it anymore because all the Vitalis made is going to the servicemen. And the first thing they say is, what in thunder do the soldiers want it for?
That's a reasonable question, Kenny.
I know. So I tell them, in the first place, those servicemen were once civilians. And a great many of them used Vitalis and got to depend on it to keep their hair well groomed. Now they want Vitalis more than ever because they're outdoors all the time, the hot sun in tropical climates. Dries their scalp. On the sea, the wind and salt spray does the same thing. And the Vitalis 60-second workout is great for loosening a tight, dry scalp, stimulating circulation, and helping to prevent excessive falling hair. That's why servicemen want Vitalis. And since Bristol-Myers can't meet both the civilian and servicemen demand, they decided that the armed forces should get all the Vitalis made. For naturally, the boys come first. Once a civilian knows those facts, he's bound to agree, don't you think? And here is our glamorous singing star, Diane Courtney, to sing Strange Music.
Strange music in my ear. Only now, as you spoke, did it start. Strange music of the sphere. Could its lovely hum be coming from my heart? You appear. And I hear songs sublime, song that I'm incapable of. So dear, let me hold you near, while we treasure every measure, so that time can never change the strange new music of love. And I hear songs sublime, song that I'm incapable of. So dear, let me hold you near, while we treasure every measure, so that time can never change the
railroad station is cold. New York train should be in any moment. I'll show Van Steeden whether or not I can get Fred Waring for the senior prom. That guy thinks he's a... Oh, what's that on the wall? Peanut vending machine full of salted peanuts. Nobody's around the station. I guess you have to put a penny in it. Oh, well, I'm a sport. What's a penny? One peanut for a penny. That's carrying inflation too far. Should I risk another one? Ah, what the heck, I get my allowance tomorrow. Two pennies, two peanuts. This machine must be...
Excuse me, bud, can I get at that peanut machine?
Why, sure, sure.
Thanks. Hmm. Okay, thanks.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Guess I just don't live right, that's all. But that train doesn't hurry and get...
Papers! Get your morning news and Kravish here. Paper, mister? Oh, hiya, Mr. Young.
Why, it's little David Dittenpfeffer. Hello, David.
Paper! Get your morning paper here.
What are you doing around the railroad station, David? You, selling newspapers?
No. I just landed from a submarine. I'm going to blow up the train, Nosy.
That's fine, David boy. Always keep busy, you bet. You. I'm glad to see that you're a newsboy. Some of our biggest men started out by selling newspapers in railroad stations. Now they're on Wall Street.
Do they sell more papers there?
Ah, David, boy, you're as sharp as a tack. And I'd like to put you on a chair and let somebody sit on you. But the reason I have...
Achoo!
Bless you.
Thanks.
David, haven't you got a handkerchief?
Sure, but I ain't allowed to lend it.
Oh, bless your little... Now, David... David, I think... Oh, the train's coming. I better go outside. I don't want to miss it. I have an appointment with Fred Waring.
Ain't you gonna buy a paper, Mr. Young?
Buy a paper? David, you're my friend. You should give me a paper.
I'd be glad to give you a paper, Mr. Young. Here you are.
Thank you.
Now will you stop twisting my arm?
Oh, I get so excited when I have to catch a train. Goodbye, David.
Fine voyage, sporty.
Sporty. Okay, I'll get on, then I...
Hello there!
Well, it's my next-door neighbor. Glad to see you. I haven't got time to talk. I got to get on this train.
Got up early today, son.
Yeah, that's fine. I have to get on the train.
Always get up early. Yeah. On the farm, I used to go to bed with the chickens and wake up with the chickens. Yeah. Darn feathers kept tickling me all night.
On a farm, eh? Did you milk many cows?
Milk cows? Snap my snuggies. I milk so many that for 10 years I used to shake hands one finger at a time.
That's very interesting.
But
look, I gotta get on this train. I got a date with Fred Waring.
I come down to do some work around the locomotive.
Oh, I didn't know you worked for the railroad.
I don't. I'm trying to steam open the letter.
I see. Well, the train is going to
pull... Letter to my brother. Yeah, I accidentally said something I didn't mean to say. Just slipped out.
Just slipped out when you're writing a letter?
Pen leaks.
I get it.
But...
He's making a career out of that. Look, my train is leaving for New York, and I...
Hey, that's a coincidence. My brother lives in Chicago.
Your brother lives in Chicago? I'm going to New York.
He don't care.
What part of Chicago does your brother live in?
Denver, Colorado.
Look, I gotta see Fred Waring about the senior prom. I'll be home tomorrow.
Oh, going to be away for a while, eh?
Yeah.
I was going to drop over and see you this afternoon.
Yeah, well, I'm very sorry, but I'll...
Just want to be neighborly.
Yeah, well...
I was shaving this morning, and I had some lather left over. I thought you might be able to use it.
Thanks. Thanks very much, but I use an electric razor. Now, I've got to...
What?
Train is pulling out. Hey, wait for me!
Dead ratty chatterbox. I thought he'd never leave.
Let's see. Well, this must be Fred Waring's office. His name is on the door. Fred Waring. Orchestras available for weddings, parades, cocktail parties, and basketball games. Oh, I'll go in. Pardon me, is this Fred Waring's office?
This is the office. Please look it over. This is the office. It's fine.
Pardon me, is this Fred Waring's office?
Oh, don't look so askance, Blondie. Mr. Waring insists that everything in this office be musical. Nobody talks. Mr. Waring insists that everybody sing.
Yeah, well, will you tell Mr. Waring that Alan Young is here?
Yesterday, Van Johnson was here.
Well, today, Alan Young is here.
What a difference a day makes.
Look, please tell Mr. Waring that Alan Young is here.
Oh, he's very busy now. He's preparing his next week's radio broadcast. You know, he's just moved his show to a new time. Thursday, 10 o'clock Eastern Wartime on the Blue Network. But I'll ask him if he could see you.
Now in the last number, I want more pizzicato. What do you think I got two fiddles for? Modulate the harmonic interpolations. Segue to a tonic arpeggio with a diminishing counterpoint. But I want to hear those two fiddles above the fortissimo brass and percussion.
Gee, Listen to that awful language.
Mr. Waring.
That's my name. Come in, Miss Clef, and stop smoking that cigar. Shut the door. I'll be with you in a moment. Now, what were you saying, Tannhauser?
Fred, I'm your manager. And I got... Will you please pay attention while I'm talking? Stop fidgeting.
I'm not fidgeting. I'm curling my hair.
Fred, you've lost touch with the masses.
Nonsense. Why, I spend an hour every day walking down Fifth Avenue, patting little children on their heads. Sometimes I don't even wear gloves.
Well, that's all right, but
I even go over to Times Square and stand there signing autographs. Yesterday, I signed 15.
Last year, you signed 50.
Yes, but this year, I raised the price.
Now, look, Fred, what you've got to do is make more personal appearances.
Oh, Mr. Waring, there's an Alan Young waiting to see you.
Young. I'm beginning to hate that word. Alan Young? Oh, yes, he wants me to play at some high school prom. Tell him I'm not interested.
No, you don't. Now, that's just what I mean. You're going to take that job, even if they pay you as little as $100 a man.
$100 a man?
Yes. Now send in Mr. Young, Miss Clef, and I'll see you later, Fred.
You can go in now, Mr. Young.
Thank you. How do you do? Are you Fred Waring?
Yes.
Well, I expected a much younger man, Mr. Waring. I want to tell you, I've listened to you on the air, and I think you're one of the finest musicians in the country.
I know.
Yeah, well, I wanted to ask you something, Mr. Waring.
Please be brief. I'm always short and to the point.
You're short, but I wouldn't say you came to a point. Yes. Well, I'm head of the Alumni Association Senior Prom Committee of the Ladislaus T. Fink High School.
Could anything be lower?
Yeah, well, we'd like to have your entire organization of Pennsylvanians play for our senior prom.
Well, as you know, my organization consists of 69 Pennsylvanians.
A telegram from Philadelphia Draft Board.
68. Now, how much are you prepared to pay?
$100.
$100. That's the least my agent told me to take. It's a deal.
Fine. The dance is next Saturday night in the high school gymnasium.
Okay, it's a deal, but on one condition.
What's that, Mr. Waring?
In my dressing room, there must be an electric outlet for my curling iron.
I'll arrange it, yes. Thank you, Mr. Waring. Thank you very much. I'll be seeing you. Goodbye.
Young, you forgot something.
I did, Mr. Waring.
You may get up off your knees now.
Oh, thank you. Call Kenny and tell him. Laugh at me, Willie. Didn't think I could get Fred Waring for $100.
Hello?
Oh, Kenny, this is Alan.
Whom?
Alan. Well, Kenny, I got Fred Waring. I certainly made you guys look sick.
Oh, that's a very bad connection. What did you say?
I said I made you look sick.
Sick? Are you sick?
I said you look sick.
You do? Oh, gee, Alan, you can't get sick now.
Kenny, you give me a headache. I said it's...
Sick and headachy. Oh. Well, goodness, Alan, you know what to do. Get yourself a glass of sal hepatica. You should know that whenever you feel sick and headachy due to the need of a laxative, sal hepatica is just the thing to take to help you feel better, faster. Particularly when you wake up in the morning with that feeling. For a glass full of sparkling sal hepatica taken then brings quick, gentle relief, usually within an hour. That means you can get rid of that feeling right away. You don't have to risk being miserable all day, waiting until night to take a laxative. And besides quick, gentle relief, sal hepatica gives you another advantage.
This famous saline helps sweeten an upset stomach by helping to reduce excess gastric acidity.
So always keep sal hepatica handy and take it when you need it, morning, noon, or night. Remembering this caution, use only as directed. Then see how much faster you feel better, thanks to gentle, speedy sal hepatica. It's the following Saturday night in the gymnasium of the Ladislaus T. Fink High School. The senior prom committee is making last-minute arrangements.
Oh, Mr. Delmar, where's Alan?
Why, he's out in the middle of the gymnasium dancing. He's seeing if the floor is waxed enough.
Oh, Mr. Young. Oh, Mr. Young.
I'll be right there, Betty. Well, the floor seems all right. Thanks very much for the dance. Gee, I enjoyed every minute of it. You danced divinely.
Okay. So long, Al.
So long, Joe. Betty, did you want me?
Yes. Where's Mr. Waring?
He's rehearsing his choir.
Gee, Mr. Waring certainly has a wonderful organization.
Yeah.
Why, you'd know anywhere that those singers work for Fred Waring.
Yeah, he's got his name tattooed on their foreheads. Oh, here he comes now. Mr. Waring, you ready?
Yes, Mr. Young, but I've a complaint to make.
Something wrong?
Yes, this current is DC and my curling iron is AC.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Hi, Alan. Is the clam bake proceeding satisfactorily?
Oh, Peter, I didn't expect you, but I'm glad you're here. Peter, I want you to meet Fred Waring.
Glad to meet you, Mr. Herring.
Waring. Fred, this is Peter Van Steeden here.
I'm a leader, too.
Oh, really? Of what scout troop?
Look, I have to open the doors. The seniors are waiting.
Mr. Young, there's one thing you should know.
Yeah?
My musicians work in war plants. If they hear a factory whistle blow, they'll have to leave, even if it's in the middle of a number.
Oh, no factory whistle's going to blow, Mr. Waring. Come on, let's welcome the dancers, shall we, Fred?
Right.
If the factory whistle blows, the musicians will have to leave. This is too easy. Oh, blow, factory whistle blow.
Mr. Waring, the dance is about to begin. May I have a fanfare, if you don't mind? For that, I'm paying $100. Members of the senior class of the Ladislaus T. Fink High School, it's time for our prom to begin. All right, come on, chillin'. Let's dance!
Hey, it's time for the night shift at Lockheed. Come on, fellas.
Hey, the trumpet players and the trombone players are leaving.
Hey, come on, boys. It's time to report the Sperry gyroscope.
There go the saxophones.
All those who work at Boeing, follow me.
Mr. Waring, what's the matter with a bass violin player?
He can't get a job. He lost his birth certificate.
Well, stop it! Stop it!
I told you the boys worked in war plants and they'd leave if they heard factory whistles.
But there aren't any factories around here. I don't understand it.
Say, Alan, if you need an orchestra, my boys are waiting outside.
Now I understand it. Peter Van Steeden, you did this.
Look, Mr. Young, this is no concern of mine. I fulfilled my part of the bargain. Where's my money? I'd like to get paid.
Well, certainly, Mr. Waring. I'm very sorry. Here you are. $100.
Fine. Now, where's the other $6,700?
$6,700? But you agreed to do it for $100.
$100 per man. 68 Pennsylvanians at $6,800.
Cigarette? No?
Look, you made the deal. You're responsible. I'll sue you for the money, Alan Young. I'll sue you.
Well, please, keep it on. Mr. Waring, I think I can settle this. You're on the radio?
Every Thursday night on the Blue Network, 10 o'clock, Eastern Wartime.
Well, who is your sponsor?
The Owens Illinois Glass Company.
Yo, Mr. Waring, it stands to reason that if your sponsor sells more glass, you'll get more money, right? Right? Right?
If he does sell more glass, I will get more money.
Mr. Waring, I'll pay you off the $6,800 I owe you right now.
How now?
Like this now. See that window? $10. See that window? $20. That window? $30. $45. $60. Friends, this is Alan Young again. We've all been asked to hold on to our money, to buy only what we really need. The government asks us not to spend foolishly. That'll start inflation, and if this country is hit by inflation, you can imagine what it'll do to the war. It's up to every one of us to hold those prices down. So let's all buy only what we really need pay no more than ceiling prices when we buy, and save as much as we can through war bonds. Do that, and you'll be doing a really important job for the war and for the peace to come. Now, friends, I'd like to thank Fred Waring for being here. I hope you'll listen to his fine program over the Blue Network every Thursday night at 10 o'clock Eastern wartime. And now, on behalf of Diane, Ken, Peter, and myself, in fact, all of us, we want to thank you for being with us tonight. Don't forget the two products that make our Tuesdays together possible, Sal Hepatica for the smile of health and Vitalis for well-groomed hair. Sal Hepatica, Vitalis. Good night.
Hey, girls, can I have your attention, please, for just a second? This is Diane Courtney. I just thought I'd put a bug in your ear about taking care of your hands, because I know only too well what an awful beating a girl's hands take these cold days, particularly when you've got a lot of soap and water jobs to do. So here's my tip. Get the hand lotion that helps protect your hands even when they're in hot, soapy water. Get Truchet, the beforehand lotion. Smooth a little Truchet on before you get to work, so Truchet's beforehand protection will help guard your hands from the rough drying effects of that hot soapy water. You'll love Truchet. It's smooth and creamy and fragrant. And above all, it does help keep your hands softer and lovelier. It's T-R-U-S-H-A-Y. Truchet. It's wonderful.
Hold it, folks. Stay tuned to this station, for here comes the Gracie Fields Show, starring Gracie Fields with that funny man, Fred Brady, immediately following station identification. This is the Blue Network.
All righty, so if you visit NeverlandPodcast.com, you'll find a link there for Podgagement. That is Daniel J. Lewis's fantastic business, where if you happen to have a podcast and you want to be able to get your reviews dropped off in your email, that is the place to do it, plus so many other different features. I just go Podcagement, click through my link there. I get a little kickback. It's always nice. Podcagement, man. All righty, and we, of course, want to thank Karen Kennedy, Ricky Pope of Christian Nerds Unite, and Darren Wilhite of the Will Hyten Wall Show for helping me out with the introduction. Of course, you can email us, podcast@neverlandpodcast.com. If we didn't happen to mention your favorite climactic moment of a movie, email us. Let me know. Heck, if I get enough emails with another list, we'll do this again sometime. I'm already planning on how I need to do a follow-up of some of the songs that made us cry or broke us in some fashion in movies. Also, don't forget, we're on X.com under Neverland PCast. We're on Facebook as The Fandom Nexus. That's where the page is where you can like. And that's fine. But we have more fun interacting in the group because you can actually post there. I would like to have a lot more posts from y'all. I know y'all are out there. Come and have some fun in the group. That's under Neverland Podcast. So I guess we'll call the Facebook group is the home of the Neverland Network of Podcasts. Found at NeverlandPodcast.com. There's other shows that I run. We're going to bring back the Mighty Marvel Tooncast. We're almost ready. My wife, Heather, has now caught up with every cartoon episode that we watched during the original run of the Mighty Marvel Tooncast. So the next thing I have her watch, we'll come and discuss it on that show. And for anyone who's a Patreon subscriber for this show or anything else on the network, I only have one Patreon account. So if you come and join our Patreon, you are going to get access to everything on the network. Well, of course, some stuff is you already get free access anyway, because it's sermons from my church. So you can have that for free anyway, without any ads or anything like that. But you get bonus content with the Mighty Marvel Tooncast because my wife loves anime. And because I'm getting her to watch some Marvel tunes, I'm going to watch some anime with her. Of course, I've made some suggestions of stuff that I've already have watched. And she's like, well, why are you getting to pick the anime shows? I was like, well, you already know some stuff that I like. And I know these shows in the 90s, like the X-Men show. I said, I know you already watched it and you've liked it. So I'm trying to, here's stuff you've liked. So I am doing that. So. But I want to watch stuff like Shield Hero, but those special episodes where I watch an anime and we discuss those will be exclusive to probably Red Circle exclusive members. I'll put it on there as an exclusive, but I'll also put them on our Patreon for anyone who's a Patreon subscriber. You will get those bonus episodes. So if you happen to be an anime fan and you want to hear me being an anime noob, I guess, and watching some of these, then I think we're going to go with Shield Hero first because there's a new season that started. And we need to kind of recap and watch the first season again. So I have watched it before, and I'll let you know. I have enjoyed the
I forgot the full title of it, but it's a S.H.I.E.L.D. hero. It's on Crunchyroll. It's a very, very good show. And what kind of got me in is Heather was watching it. And there's this cute little girl. She was kind of a little dog, and she wanted a toy or something like that. And her tail was wagging. I thought, oh, that's adorable. I kind of want to watch this now. Ended up watching it. Turned out to be a very, very good show. And that character grows up pretty fast and everything. And she's my favorite character on the show. I really like that character. She's really cool. So I'm looking forward. And there was something really dramatic happened at the end of the season we were watching. I'm like, oh, no. I was like, well, then where's the next season? So, yeah. Anyway, so yes, if you want access to that, become a member of our Patreon. I feel like I got sidetracked here. Okay, so where were we? Oh, yeah. I mentioned Patreon. I've mentioned the Red Circle there. I put a link in there in the show notes where you can become an exclusive member through Red Circle, and that's also gets you some bonus content and no ads as well. Now, let me go ahead and say now that no copyright infringement is intended, and copyright is held by their respective owners. Content is shared for review and commentary purposes under fair use license. So now, get lost in an adventure, and I'll see you next time.
Warning, the following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even, like your efforts are futile, and you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So, whether you need to hire 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.